The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, that's good, isn't it? Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Palmore. Appreciate that so very much. Take your Bible, please, and go to 2 Kings chapter 22, if you will, and look at verse 8 again, if I may reread it for reiteration's sake, as I often do here, where the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 22 and in verse 8, "And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There's a man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord." Now watch what he says here. "But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat saith," I'd like to have a name by the name of Jehoshaphat. "And Jehoshaphat saith, let not the king say so." Now, here's the story. Jehoshaphat, of course, if you will, please, the king of Judah, now is shopping around. He's trying to find a preacher, honestly, that will give him a good report as to being able to have victory against the Assyrian army. He's already had 400 prophets that's given him a "you're going to win" type of report. But for some reason, down inside, he's very uncomfortable. And so he rises up and he says, "Is there not a prophet that I could speak to that also would give me such a report?" Well, Ahab said, "Well, there is a prophet in the land, and his name is Micaiah. And you can go to him, but can I tell you, I don't like this fella. Because every time I go to him, he gives me a bad report. Every time I go to him, he if you will, doesn't give me what I want to hear." Now, I want to speak this morning on do you want to get better or do you just want to feel better? Do you want to get better or do you just want to feel better? You see, here was that king, if you will, that said that I need to find somebody that will give me a report. He'd already had 400 that said, "You're going to win." But he said, I feel uneasy about that. And so I'm going to go and get another opinion. So this was going to be opinion 401. So he was going to go to this one, and he asked, he said, over there to Ahab, he said, "Is there not somebody else that would not be like these guys that could give me an outside opinion?" And so Ahab said, "Well, there is one, but every single time I go to this guy, he doesn't give me a good report. Matter of fact, every time I've gone to him, he's corrected me and has given me a bad report." All right, now, can I say that sometimes when you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you a bad report, the report is still a report. So the question stands this morning is, does a person really want to get better or do they simply want to feel better? I have told my dear wife and I've told my children, if I ever go to the doctor and the doctor says, "Well, you have cancer or you have a failing heart or you have something of that caliber," I said, "Please don't come in the hospital room and smile at me and pretend everything's okay. Come in the hospital room and just shoot it straight. You know, you got a day to live and you better get your house in order," or something like that. But you know, tell me how it is. And that way, if I've got a week to live or I've got a month to live or whatever the case may be, then I'm a planner, I'm an organizer, I like to do things that way. And so I can set my house in order and then I can do things that I would like to do with my dear wife. I can do things that I like to do with my dear children and be able to spend time with them and being able to know that I need to number my days. Now, can I say, I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold for you, and I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold for me. But the Bible does say this, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." So you and I ought to live each and every day to its fullest. You and I ought to decide what our bottom lines are and give it our all. And our bottom line ought to be to serve Jesus Christ. And so we ought to decide that we're going to take and do things to be able to please God. Now, how is it that you and I ought to be able to take the proper orders when being evaluated from that which is a doctor? By the way, there's no greater physician than the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, in the Bible, he's called the great physician. And so, as the great physician would be to open you up this morning and to be able to evaluate exactly not only what you do, but really who you are. How is it that the great physician would evaluate you this morning? What is it that the great physician, if you were to walk into that which is the King of Kings' presence this morning, and you said to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I want you to cut me open, and I want you to evaluate the very intentions of my life. I want you to evaluate me as a person. I want you to evaluate me as a dad. I want you to evaluate me as a mom. I want you to evaluate me as that which is a dad, or that which is, if you will please, a mother, or that which is a young person. If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great physician, was to cut you open this morning and you so allowed him to do so, what is it that he would say upon investigating and evaluating your heart? Where do you stand before God this morning? Let me give you some things to consider. In order to get better, you have to see your need. In order to get better, you have to see your need. Somebody walking around that has cancer but doesn't see that they have cancer is not even going to give the doctor or the prescription or the medicine that they're supposed to be taking on a regular basis a chance simply because of the fact they do not come to the reality that they individually have a need. Now, can I tell you, there's no need that you have in your life that God Himself cannot meet. There's no need that you have in your life that God Himself cannot be able. I don't care if it's a marriage this morning that's on the rocks. I don't care if it's a financial problem that you've got and you're living in financial reversal. It doesn't matter this morning if you have a child that is wayward. It does not matter this morning if you have a house that's getting ready to go into foreclosure. It doesn't matter this morning if you have a car that won't make it from A to even B, forget W, X, Y, and Z. It doesn't matter this morning if all your friends have forsaken you. It does not matter this morning if your mother-in-law moves in for an extended visit. It does, well, that may matter, but it does not matter. I'm saying this. I'm saying in order to get better, we have to see, you must see your need. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing and knowest, it says, not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. All right. So here's the church, if you will please, there, the Laodicean church. And what's taking place is they're saying, hey, look, we're okay. Now, by the way, when somebody goes to the doctor and they won't kind of let the doctor know, I've been having chest tightness, or I've been having a continual cough, or I've been sneezing ever since I get up in the morning till the night falls. I've got a pain in my back, or I've got a pain in my hip, or my fingers, you know, they're just giving me problems. Whatever the case may be, if you are not honest with that which is yourself, and you're not honest with things that go on, I'm talking about in your physical body, to be able to share that with a doctor that certainly can help you, then how in the world do you think a doctor can help you? Now, let me say this morning. That's the state of our nation. Our nation is comfortable. Our nation, if you will, please. We live in a nation right now where our nation thinks that everything is okay. But can I tell you, we're a far cry from being okay. Our nation is not okay. We have families. We have families that are wrecked and ruined, but yet they do not come to the understanding that they are wrecked and ruined. And because of that, they don't see the need that they have in their life. They don't see the need that they have inside of the family. When the doctor examines you, he don't know where to examine you unless you tell him where. You know, when the doctor tries to help, he doesn't know where to help you if he doesn't have a clue. When all of a sudden, you know, you go to someone and you're under stress, or maybe you've got weakness in a certain area of your life or something like that, can I tell you, they don't know. They just don't know. You've got to be able to give them a clue. Now, the same thing is true about church. When you come to church, oh, can I tell you, this is not a feel-good type of meeting. This is a meeting where we meet with God, and here's a Bible, and the Bible is true. Every jot and every tittle in the Bible is true. It's the inspired, inerrant, preserved Word of God for God's English-speaking people. And can I tell you, when we open up that Bible will help us to be able to understand what is right and what is wrong and what to do and what not to do and which way to go and which way not to go. But we have to learn to be able to trust God, to let God help us every single step of the way. So what do we do? Statement number one, in order to get better, we must see our need. A person walking around thinking everything is okay. Somebody said they come to church and they leave church the same way they came. Can I say that that is a sad connotation of church life? Well, to come to church and say, God, here I am, open me up and tell me what's wrong with me so that I can get some help. Open me up and help me to understand what I'm supposed to do so that I can do right in my personal life. Statement number one, in order to get better, you must see your need. And by the way, that old spiritual, it's not my mother, not my father, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, yes, it's me, yes, it's me, O Lord. Hey, it's about us. Well, I tell you what, I came to church and I saw that there was a hypocrite. You'll see hypocrites at Walmart, but you still shop there. But you know, I came to church and I saw somebody that they were not what they were supposed to be. But can I tell you, you can look in the mirror and see somebody that's not what they're supposed to be. The problem is this, we try to correct everybody else, but the fact of the matter still remains, we're supposed to be correcting ourselves. We're supposed to be asking God, God, help me. Somebody always trying to correct somebody else all the time. Can I tell you, the reason they're not getting help personally is because they're trying to correct everybody else all the time. No wonder they're not getting personal help. I'm saying this. I'm saying in order to get better, you must see your needs. Statement number two, in order to get better, you must seek a doctor. You must seek a doctor. Now, it's up to you what type of doctor you seek. Some people will seek a doctor that is very, very well versed in that which is herbs and natural remedies. Others will not go that way, but they'll seek a doctor that is of the medical status and is very highly recommended in the medical field. But can I tell you, when it comes time for a physical need, here's what you do. You seek a doctor. Now, can I tell you, watch this. The Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So maybe you ought to find some things that would give you a merry heart. I tell you, I heard about it. I was not in here. It was a ladies' meeting, so I was not welcome to attend. But I heard that Rebecca had worked it out to be able to fly in to surprise her dear mom and I, and I heard that my dear wife got on the cell phone and was going to do a FaceTime. Have I heard it right? Going to do a FaceTime? Is that what you're going to do? And I was going to get on the phone and do a FaceTime with my dear daughter. And so, and Rebecca had already shocked me and was standing in the office, and I walked in and shocked, there she was. And so, but she hadn't shocked her mama yet. So she had a plan. I asked her, I said, how are you going to surprise your mama? And she said, oh, we've already got it all planned out. And so my wife, in the middle of the ladies' conference, wanted our daughter to have a part of the ladies' conference, and so she FaceTimed her. So she's FaceTiming her, and Rebecca's right there on the screen, and they're talking thus and so. Somehow or another, as they're talking, our daughter walked up behind my wife, and so all of a sudden when she turned around, boom, there she is. Now talk about heart attack. But now wait a minute. You know, it is good to surprise people in a good way. The world has enough surprise. By the way, let me help you. If you've got a marriage that is on the rocks and it's not going the way it ought to go, maybe what you ought to do is look for ways to bring delight into it. Amen. You say, well, it's not fun the way it used to be. Well, you're in it. So that means probably you're a part of the problem. So what do you do? Well, remedy it. Do things you used to do. Go on a date. Go eat ice cream. Go fly a kite. I didn't say go tell her to fly a kite. I said go fly a kite. Go do something together. Go on a picnic. Chase each other around the park like you used to. He's bigger now. You can catch him. I'm saying this. I'm saying in order to get better, you must seek a doctor. John chapter 5 and verse 40, the Bible says and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Now, wait a minute. And so life is right there. And by the way, isn't it true in every marriage? Isn't it true with every family? Isn't it true in every church? You have the ability to make a difference. Well, nobody smiles at me. Well, then go up and smile at them. They'll catch on after a while. Might take them 10 years, but they'll catch on. You know, well, nobody shakes my hand. Look, you extend that old hand out there long enough, they're either going to shake it or give you money because they think you're a beggar. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that in order to be able to get better, you must seek a doctor. Our daughter is in cosmetology school. 1,500 hours, is that right? 1,500, did I hear it right? 1,500 hours she has to take. 1,500 hours before she can get to the point, to the place where they will release her into the general public to attack your hair. 1,500 hours. You know, if I was going to go sit in a dentist chair, and I looked up at the dentist, and I said, now, sir, how long have you been practicing? And he says, well, it's good news for you. And I said, how's that so? And he said, you're my first patient. I would say, I've got good news for you. And he would say what? I would say, I'm leaving. I want them to have some practice underneath their belt. Amen. Go to a doctor, and you're going to have your kidney taken out or something like that, you know? And you're getting ready to, you're on the stretcher, and they're pushing you down the hallway ever so slow, letting you view all the cracks in the wall, pushing you down the hall ever so slow. And then all of a sudden you look up and you say, hey, doc, I've got a question for you. Well, how many surgeries have you done? Well, this is my first one. Can I tell you, if there was a way physical, I'd get off of that thing and I'd push myself some other direction. Now, can I tell you, you have a great physician, the great physician as Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ has never lost a case. Right. Jesus Christ has never allowed anybody to walk away without being made whole to the degree that they need to be made whole. Right. Jesus Christ can answer every question. There's not a marriage problem, and stay with me now, there's not a marriage problem that you're having in your home that God, I said God, does not have the answer to. There's not a financial problem that God does not give biblical principles whereby, if you look at those biblical principles and allow those big biblical principles to be able to guide you in your life, there is not one single financial question that is not answered when it comes to biblical principles that will guide you in the right direction of your financial struggles. There's not one relationship problem that God does not have an answer. I'm saying there's the seasoned one who's not a novice. Who is that? That's the Lord God. Wait a minute, but there's other people. Maybe a Sunday school teacher, or maybe somebody that's been saved for umpteenth years, or a pastor. I'm saying this. I'm saying that you must seek the doctor. Now, you seek somebody that has expertise. My daddy was a wonderful electrician. Wonderful electrician. But he didn't know all that much about taking apart motors. So I'd have to get with him about the electrical stuff, but not about the motor stuff. I'm saying this. I'm saying you look for someone, all right? And then a sincere one. Not a performer, but a sincere person. Somebody that might cry with you. By the way, you ought to be close to your parents and let your parents be close to you. Thank God for moms and daddies. Thank God for moms and daddies that love you enough to bring you to church. By the way, if you've been visiting some churches in the metro area, you may have come here this morning and you may have said, well, that singing is just, that's the way they used to do it. Yeah, that's right. And by the way, the Bible talks about how there's the preaching of the Bible, the preaching of the Word of God that saved those that believe. You know why? That people used to have victory in their lives and they did not go this, thus, and so to do this, that, and the other to be able to find something outside of the Bible is because of the fact years ago they had good old-fashioned godly preaching that would help people to make decisions in their personal life. Find the seasoned one. That's the Lord. Sincere. Certainly that's the Lord. Straightforward one. That's the Lord. He's the great physician. Statement number one, I said, in order to be able to get better, you have to see your needs. Statement number two, in order to get better, you have to seek a doctor. Statement number three, in order to get better, you have to submit to the examination. Now, here's what it is. The Bible is, here's what happens. If you go to a church and they preach the Bible, here's the way it goes. Here's the way it goes. The preacher will preach a general truth, being led by the Holy Spirit. He'll preach a general truth, and the Holy Spirit makes it personal. That's how come sometimes when there's preaching, there will be, you might be talking to your wife on the way home, and you say, honey, what did you get out of that message? And your wife will say, well, here's what I got. What'd you get? And you'll get two different things totally out of the same message. Now, why is that true? Because you have a Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will make that which is the preaching very personal. Oh, I've had people listen to preaching, and they listen to my preaching, and some people get glad while other people get mad while other people get sad. It's true. I'll have people listen to my preaching, and they'll come out and shake my hand out in the lobby area after a little bit, and they'll say, wow, thank you for that preaching. I'll go to extend my hand to shake somebody else's hand, and they'll snob me. Now, it's the same preaching. It's the same Bible. I've had people stand out in the hallway, and all of a sudden they hear the preaching, and they say, wow, that's good. I need to go in. I need to find a seat. Then I've had people that's sitting in the auditorium say, wow, that bothers me, and they get up and leave. Same preaching. See, it's the Holy Spirit of God that He's your personal coach. He is your personal tutor. He's the one that makes it personal. Now, wait a minute. And so we understand that in order to get better, you must submit to the examination. Psalm 139 and verse 23, the Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. So we come to God and we say, God, here I am, and please, would you help me? Now, we understand this, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, when you take vitamins, those vitamins, you're not going to become a powerhouse. You're not going to become super strong. You're not going to develop that which is an endurance for the long trip just by taking them for a day and then putting them aside. No, you have to be able to take them on a consistent basis. Now, why? Because you want to get it in your system. I've said to people here, if you give me 5 years, please, as your preacher, let me have 5 years of your life where you come and you just hear the preaching of the Word of God. Can I tell you, God will change your life. Amen. You'll be able to look back and you'll say, I was not the person I was when I came. Simply because of the fact that God is the one that can work inside of the heart. I'm saying this, in order to get better, you must submit to the examination, okay, of the preacher preaching, of that which is the preaching of the Scripture. You know, we're not preaching out of some history book. This is a living Bible. The King James Bible that we hold so dear is a Bible that can be trusted throughout the years. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that there's the preaching of the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will use that to probe. He will. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31, the Bible says, and if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know, the greatest person that can give you an examination is yourself. Because you know when your heart is not like it ought to be. You know when you start growing cold. You know all of a sudden when things are not like they should be. You know it for sure. By the way, you know it in your marriage, and you know it with your relationship with your family, and you know it when it comes to that which is the hearing of the preaching of the Bible. So the Holy Spirit is our probe. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 32, the Bible says, and when we are judged, listen to it now, we are chastened of the Lord, and we shall not be condemned with the world. So when we judge ourselves, or when the Lord judges us, then we're not going to be condemned by the world. The world pointing the fingers saying, well, you say you're a Christian, but you said that. No, no. See, if we're judging ourselves, we're correcting ourselves. Statement number one, I said this as I hasten to a close. How is it that we can get better and not just pretend that we feel better. Well, we do that by deciding that in order to get better, we must see our need. We do that by deciding in order to get better, we must seek a doctor. In order to get better, we understand this, that we must submit to an examination. Then lastly this, and I'm done. We must get better. In order to get better, we must stick to the prescription. Stick to the prescription. I got saved July 24th, 1979. 8:35 at night, Reese's Carnival Ground in Westminster, Maryland. Walking along, minding my own business, and a teenage boy, age 16, I was 18 at that time, and he came up to me, and he gave me a clear presentation of the gospel. When I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I started going to an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent Baptist church, where the preacher got up and unashamedly started to preach the Bible. Now, can I tell you, when that Bible was preached, there are some things that my pastor said that just rubbed me the wrong way. Billy Sunday was preaching one day, and somebody said, every time you preach, it makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. It just bothers me. It rubs me the wrong way. He said, I'll give you the same advice I give the cat. Turn the cat around. By the way, listen to me. Look. If I'm going to go to a doctor, I don't want to go to a doctor. Now, stay with me. I don't want to reason with me. I don't want to go to a doctor, and I walk in, and he says, you look mighty fine. I want to go to a doctor, and I want to find out what's wrong with me. Amen. What's wrong with me? Okay? James chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So it said, be a hearer of it. Be a hearer of it. But don't just only be a hearer. Be a doer of it. So hear it and do it. The Bible says, happy are ye when ye do it. You know, somebody says, well, I tell you what, I've just lost my happiness. My question would be this, how are you serving Jesus Christ? Amen. Your happiness comes in obedience. Amen. That's where happiness comes. Amen. If I was a football player and I sat on the sideline, yet I love football, but I sat on the sideline and I just sat there, just a guy, a bench warmer, just sitting on the sideline, and the coach would never put me out there on the field. Did you know, eventually, I would feel like I'm not a part of the team. Right. You know why? Because I'm just sitting there. I'm saying, when you get involved in things, now, we get involved in business, we get involved in self-preservation, we get involved in all these other things. Now, could it not be true that maybe God, might it be true that God also would have you to get involved in serving Him? Amen. Might it be that God could have something that you and possibly only you could do? Wow. Might it be something that maybe you and another person that you don't even know right now is waiting for you to come into their life so that you and that person could serve Jesus Christ and be able to get the blessings of God? I'm saying this. I'm saying in order to get better, you must stick to the doctor's prescription. You know, sometimes you have to endure pain. I went over to Cooper Clinic and to have an examination. I spent probably, 4.5 hours, I guess, going from office to office to office at Cooper's Clinic and completely was examined. They examined everything. I mean everything. They talked to me about this. They talked to me about that. They examined my vision, and they examined my saliva. They examined everything you could think about. And then at the end, I met with a doctor. All the charts was coming into the doctor's office. All the charts coming in, just flowing in from every examination that I had that day was flowing into one individual, and that was the doctor that was going to be my doctor for the day. And so at the end of the day, I had a 45-minute, half-hour, 45-minute dissertation, if you will, or being able to be instructed from the doctor. And so I went in, and he said, well, this looks good, but you need work on this. And this looks good, but you need work on this. And this looks good, but you need to kind of work on this just a little bit. And then I went over to the cancer clinic, and they began to examine to see if I had any cancer. And he said, man, you got a spot back here on your shoulder. He said, it doesn't look good. It looks like it might be cancerous. And I said, really? I said, what do you suggest I do about that? Oh, he said, we'll take care of it right here. I said, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'll just cut it out. I said, you what? He said, I'll just cut it out. He said, that's what we do. He said, we'll get rid of it right here now. I said, okay. So he shot me up with something to deaden the skin, and he took a scaffold, and he went in there, and he dug that thing out. Then he sent it off and said, oh, you don't need to worry about it. It's benign. And I wondered, could they not figure that out before they cut it out? I mean, why did they have to cut it out and then figure it out? But anyway, and so I'm saying this. I'm saying sometimes the prescription gives you, you have to endure it. There's some pain there. Sometimes that prescription, if you will, you have to engage with it. Brother Fugit was our guest here over the past couple of days as his wife spoke there, and he and I was able to spend personal time together. And he said, you know, preacher, he said, I'm not feeling good. I don't know what I got, but I'm not feeling good. He had all stuffed up head and stuff like that. I said, well, you know, I've got some stuff at the house can help you, some amoxicillin that we have, and that boy helped. And by the way, if I shouldn't have did that, don't tell me right now. But and so I said, I've got some there, and maybe to help you. And so he said yes, and he took it, and it helped him. It helped him. He felt like when he flew home, he was only flying on one plane instead of two. I mean, he felt, I'm saying that. So you have to engage with it, all right? And then enjoy it. Enjoy it. I'm saying that when preaching comes, when church comes, you know, why is it that people come to church and, man, they look like they lost their best friend or somebody ran over their dog? Well, they come to church, they look so sad. You ever notice that? Well, go ahead, look around. I see you doing it. And they look so sad. You know, they're sitting beside someone, and someone is just sitting there, and it's like, well, I can't wait to get out of here. Can't we soon go eat? And someone is saying, wow, I need to text my, oh, never mind, you're sitting right beside me. And just wanting to, all right, now I'm saying, enjoy church. Wasn't that a good choir special? Amen. Sure it was. Wasn't that good solos and all that sang up here? Wasn't that good? That was so good, wasn't it? You know, wasn't it good to be able to go around and shake somebody else's hand and get a halfway decent smile and just be glad you're, wasn't that good? Wasn't it good to hear about the church history and how God has blessed Parkside Baptist Church? Wasn't that so good? Wasn't that so good when the offering plate came by? You said, preacher, skip that one. But wasn't that so good when the offering plate came by and you had opportunity to give to God for his service and being able to work in people's, wasn't that good? Wasn't that good? Wasn't it good that you came to church, we got the lights on, praise God, we got padded pews, hallelujah, we got air conditioned, glory to God. I mean, isn't that good? Isn't that good? Isn't it good to be able to be in church where you can look around and see people that love God and watch little kids and as they come out of our different junior churches here in a little bit, and they'll be flooding in the hallways, and you see all these little munchkins running around and they're smiling, you know, about 80 or so kids or so, and boy, they're smiling, they got the goober faces on, and boy, they're running down the hallway and they're hugging people and grabbing people. And you say, who in the world is this kid? And they look up and they say, oh, you're not my daddy. And they'll take off and go that way. But isn't that good? See, you're in a good place. Now, I'm saying this and I'm done. I'm saying that what we need to do is decide that we're not just going to feel better, but that we are going to get better. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.